This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Diane McConnell,
Ed Weir,
Mike Lawrence,
and I'm Stuart Burks. Now, today we're going to be talking about experiences of Saturday shopping in New Zealand. Just to give a bit of background, before 1945, which is something most of us probably don't recall, Saturday night was a major shopping and social night, as it was often payday. In 1945, a law was passed that banned Saturday shopping to provide families with a full weekend off because there was no shopping on Sunday. So there was something specific about the Kiwi weekend. In 1980, the Shop Trading Hours Amendment Act was passed, allowing Saturday trading to resume, which significantly changed the retail landscape. It actually changed a lot of the social landscape also. And in 1990, Sunday trading was also legalised. So, some of you here, before my time in New Zealand, but you would have childhood memories of the weekends in New Zealand. And
yep, most definitely. Because you didn't go shopping, but Friday night we always went Friday night shopping or to the library. So we always had new library books to read at the weekend. I suspect it was probably to the dad to make sure he had a quiet weekend.
So Friday night, there was no shopping Saturday and Sunday, but there was late night shopping on Friday.
Yes.
Till about 9 o'clock, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, till 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Okay, and then so whole families could go in together. I think that was so you could get the family shopping, wasn't it?
Yes.
So you could go as a group. Mm-hmm. There's a big social event at the same time.
Yeah. So I was living, my family were out in the country, so about, 20, 30 minutes drive out. And so Friday night was into the car, after school, into town. That was when we had piano lessons. We used to be given a shilling, and that was our pocket money. And with that, we were expected to get our own fish and chips while Mum was doing her shopping. And then we'd all meet up. And it was just a really significant part of your week. Friday night, you were going to go to town, and you would eat in town. So Mum didn't have to cook. Streets were busy. There was no such thing as cards, so it was all cash, coins.
I had to bank cards, you mean, to pay. So you pay by... Would you pay by check in shops? Well, you wouldn't as a child.
I wouldn't as a child, yeah. But if there were major bills to be paid, I don't know if businesses were still open or whether it was just retail shops.
I think it was mainly retail shops.
Yeah, because the banks were closed.
The banks closed at 3. Normal bank closing time is 3, which meant for the weekend, if you hadn't got your money out by 3 o'clock on Friday, then you were stuck over the weekend. Yeah.
That's right. So if you're going away in the car or something, you had to make sure you had enough cash to buy petrol on the trip. I don't remember many people having checkbooks in those days.
Mm. No, we were farming, and so the farm accounts would have been paid with cheques.
Yeah. In England, we used cheques. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I know a lot of people
wouldn't have bank accounts; they'd have savings accounts.
I seem to remember check accounts because I remember one time Mum saying something about not having any money, and I said, "Well, you could just write for some money." Mm. So thinking that if she didn't have it there, but she could write it, and that would be money. Mm. So I think obviously perhaps we did have. A check account.
Yeah, but you wouldn't use it just to get a bottle of milk from the dairy, would you?
No. And also, I think the accounts, how they worked, I'm thinking there were various department shops. Mm. So Mum could go in and buy, say, clothes and things.
Account,
and you
yes.
had an account.
Yes.
And then at the end of the month,
the cheque would be
the cheque would be written out, sent in, or she would pay.
Go in and pay it, probably.
Yes, yeah. you consider it very important if you had an account with a particular shop. Mm-mm. And somebody would say they want to buy something. Oh, you can use my account.
Mm-mm. Yes.
Oh, except there was the, what was it, the... it was the PDC then, wasn't it? It was a cooperative
yes.
shop
yes.
In town, and
yes.
you could, you would have sort of a... When I arrived, I saw the first thing before getting a car, I thought, okay, get a bike, and I went in and they said, if you remember, you get this discount at the end of the year or something, and I said, how much does it cost to be a member? And it was a lot less than the discount. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, the PDC was a cooperative, yeah. and you became a member. Everybody
yes.
became
and
a member and got
a little card, yes.
And got a rebate at the end of the year yeah. for their purchases.
Yeah, yeah, and you could buy on credit there.
And they had a specialised yeah. bike shop as well, PDC.
Yeah, yeah. And I actually thought, yeah, you buy something on credit because then you get a credit rating. But I got a lawnmower when I had a house and got the... So I thought, yes, I'll do this on credit. I could have paid cash, but I thought I'll do it on credit to get a credit rating. But then you had to go through all the paperwork to get it done, and then you have to go in each time and everything. So I did, you know, the initial deposit, I think, and then the next payment. I thought, I can't be bothered with this, and paid that whole lot off, which gave me a brilliant credit rating.
Actually, talking about credit rating, in the early 70s, I actually worked at DIC in the credit department. It was actually a holiday job, a university holiday job to start with. And I started just working on the ground floor, and they realised that I had a bit of a qualification going on, and I was invited up into the credit department. And that was the most interesting experience I think I've ever had, because people would come in with their application for credit, to mm-hmm. actually open a credit account, and the access to the documentation, and there was a series of books that you could... to look up to make sure that a person who's applying for credit didn't have a bad mark against their name in these reference books. You didn't go online to look up. You had these books. And then you had to do background checks on everything on the person before they could actually open an account. So it wasn't just a matter of opening an account. There were a whole series of checks that had to be...
Yeah, you couldn't go online because there wasn't computerised records at that stage.
But it was just one of those very interesting experiences because there was one person who came in and gave a false address because using the electoral rolls and things like that, the person of that name did not live at that address. Transpired that this person had used a friend's address to try and because their background was probably not able to be given credit.
So you were using the
electoral
rolls, police.
I think there were a whole series of
checks for each person who was applying for. Can I have credit at this particular shop?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah. But the people up in the credit department also did them, because I was called back in to work there even after I'd become a teacher during the school holidays, because they needed extra staff to cover Christmas holidays. And one of the things I found fascinating then was that there were two departments in the shop that the salespeople got commission. Yeah. They were... the furniture department
mm-hmm.
and menswear.
Not jewellery.
No, it was a. But it was, and the main reason, the main staff in the furniture department were male, and equally in the menswear department.
Yeah, and that's the cause, or is it just the correlation?
It was just one of those fascinating things because, you know, to calculate the... it probably intrigued me back then to think that this was...
Maybe it's harder to sell furniture than men's clothes.
So you had to work harder, you mean?
You need greater skill or something. something. Yeah. Women buy a lot more clothes than men do, don't they? I mean, well, one thing that came through in various things is the amount of shop floor space devoted to women's clothes compared to that devoted to men's, and it's quite marked distinction.
Do you remember the days when you could buy or get goods on Apro? And particularly in clothing stores, my mother worked in a drapery store, and people would buy a garment. They didn't know whether it would fit or not. If it was a fit child, perhaps they wouldn't know until they got it home whether it would be acceptable. So they didn't pay for it at the time. They got it on APRO approval, and they took it home. And if they didn't return it within a month, then they were sent an account for that amount of money. And that was quite common.
Or was probably with stable population, so you know everybody, maybe, rather, because now you've got the, so you can buy, but then you can return it if it doesn't.
Yeah, well, then in that case you pay for it and then get a refund. In this case you didn't pay for it until the end of the month.
Was the APRO actually only available for people who had an account at the shop? I suspect it possibly was.
Maybe.
So you took it, and with the understanding of returning, a possible return, otherwise it was on your account, and you, so basically it was sort of a book thing.
Yeah, quite likely,
Just thinking about it. But then there was also lay-by.
But then there was also, I know, especially in country with large rural areas, there's the mail order sort of things, where people would buy something maybe in two or three sizes, because they wouldn't know quite which one would fit, and then return them.
I don't recall that at all.
You didn't have that. It was big in America, and we've got it. We had it recently. I don't know. Is it Easy Buy still going?
Easy Buy was
is that
huge
still going?
Because it was relatively a new option. As a child in the rural area, we had a van coming around, like a draper's van, and he had clothes and he had all the sewing and knitting stuff in it. And so he would call in every so often. But most of that kind of stuff was done on the Friday night in town.
Yeah.
I don't know what town was like Monday to Thursday, but Friday night was busy. And then
what about parking? Because that's a big issue these days with so many cars around.
Well,
people are going in one funny car.
Earlier
free parking everywhere.
Not every household had cars.
Public transport. Catch the tram.
Yeah. And was it free parking then? Because they didn't have meters in those days. Yeah, well, or did they? Meters would have come in probably in the 1960s.
I think it was free parking.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So Fielding was free parking for even quite recently.
Well, it still is free parking. There's just got a time limit now, but it's still free.
And there are around most of the supermarkets it's free parking, but with a supposed limit.
But that's a new change, because before we started recording, we were talking about that, the issue of shop. They didn't have the big supermarkets with the car parks. There weren't the big shopping malls and those sorts of things either.
And I can remember in the 60s, fruit and veggie man came round with a truck down the street and selling fruit and vegetables.
But and you had the department stores as well, didn't you?
Yes, and they were great. They sort of had...
Yeah. They had separate sort of counters or sections for... Yes. Well, like you were saying, there'd be the menswear section, the furniture section, the
children's wear.
Children's, all that. Yeah.
Toys.
Yes.
China.
And the really big ones in the big cities would have a cafe, well, what we'd call a cafe, but it was a tea room, and you could go in.
Oh, that's right, the tea rooms now. Where was it? The one where the
PDC,
library is.
PDC now. Tea rooms was a very good.
It had a tea room.
Before it was DIC, was it Roscoe?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. But those tea rooms, that was sort of quite traditional, wasn't it?
And they were also, they were often wedding reception venues at the weekends because the shop wasn't open.
On the Saturday.
It's on the Saturday, so it could be used as a wedding reception.
Of course. Yeah. Because Saturdays, before the Saturday shopping started, Saturday you just went into town for sport.
Well, the whole idea of that,
movies.
The thing that struck me is I came here in 78, and so there was the big Kiwi weekend, which was actually a big thing. It meant everybody had time for the leisure activities and the sport and the interaction and so on. And they weren't distracted by everyone going shopping. And
kids' sport tended to be in the mornings, Saturday morning, and then the adult sport was in the afternoons. So you could go and watch the kids playing their sport in the morning and go to the rugby game in the afternoon.
Which meant also that the adults or parents were available to go because they weren't working.
Looking, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that was a significant part of it.
Yeah. Mm.
But also with the sport, it relied a lot on parents getting kids to the venue.
Yeah.
And often they were the support team. Some of them ended up being referees, coaches. In the area I was from, the parents were very involved in the children's sport out in the country district. And then they'd sort of share transport for who's taking them in on Saturday morning.
But then here, because I can remember things like going to what was then called basketball, netball, cycling from one side of town to the other to play a game of netball, of basketball. Yeah, and I think a lot of kids in the 60s cycled to their sporting events.
Yeah.
And we wore our uniforms too.
Well,
you just put them on in the morning and then off you went to sport because
there were probably weren't really that many changing rooms at the children's sporting areas.
No showers either.
No. Uh-huh. Not that I recall.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you feel about the change opening up the shopping at the weekend? Did you feel that there was a loss in the way that we... Or it was more exciting because of these...
If I was older and sort of married and with kids, it might have been different. But I was single, I was teaching out in the country, and then you come into town, and the fact that you could actually go to shops in the weekend, you know, that Saturday morning, it was very exciting. You could have a bit of time around the shops, and it was social.
So it was better than the Friday night, late night shopping?
For me it was, but that's just the stage of life I was in.
Yeah.
I think for parents who were working Monday to Friday, who suddenly had to work on Saturday morning if they were retail.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I'm talking about the, like you said, it was a good experience on Saturday because you could go into the shops and it was a social activity, but Friday nights had been that.
Yes.
But then if you had young children who had to be back and had to be in bed early, then it wasn't. And so I think that it was said... it possibly opened up for, and if you're thinking of what was probably a typical family there where mum was at home, dad was working, it was a possibility that dad might look after the kids on the Saturday morning so mum could go in and get the groceries without, young children.
And get the Christmas presents while the children...
Yeah, a lot of groceries, I think. I'm just trying to think back to my days in Napier, and there certainly weren't supermarkets. There was shops. You couldn't help yourself to the goods, so you went to a counter and they got them for you.
A grocery store.
But then there were also what we might call these days corner dairies, which were also grocery shops. And I was a delivery boy for a corner dairy on Napier Hill, and I remember pushing these grocery
hill. And you had those bikes,
with the basket.
So you now did that mean you were going downhill with a full load and uphill with an
not always no, but a lot of people did their normal grocery shopping at the corner shop.
Yes.
And, of course, the people that ran the corner shops quite often lived in the same building.
Yes.
Yeah.
So come a Saturday or Sunday and somebody in the house wanted to a pound of butter to do some baking, they'd run out. go around to the back of the shop and
knock on the door,
and get them out and get your butter that way.
Yeah, because that was the whole thing that made the corner dairies viable was the restricted shopping elsewhere, I think. Because they suffered a lot once they opened it all up with the weekend shop.
That was probably before this, but I can remember because my uncle had a a corner shop in an area in the South Island. He was also an avid white baiter, but because of the connections to the shop, they also had a freezer at home. And very few households had the only freezer they had was a tiny little wee one in the top of the refrigerator, which could possibly take a pint of ice cream, but that would be about it.
Yes.
So we got a phone call from South Island saying Motueka actually to say there's been a parcel sent by NAC and we had to go up and collect it. So my uncle would freeze the pack of white bait, put it in a package wrapped in newspaper. It would be put on the plane at Nelson, flown up to Palmerston North by NAC, and then delivered to the NAC building in the middle of Palmerston North where we could collect it, and the white bait would still be frozen enough, but it probably meant we had white bait fritters that night.
Good way to do it. It's something that surprised me when I came to New Zealand, because in Britain, which is sort of similar size to New Zealand, but wherever you are in Britain, even in inland Britain, you could get very fresh fish all the time, and I felt it wasn't quite the same. I think it's improved now. There's obviously shipments and selling them in ice and so on, but yes, I suppose a smaller country with smaller turnover didn't have the same systems in place for that sort of thing, distribution networks and so on.
Going back, you were saying about working in that shop. Was it closed Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, this one was.
So were there some that were open on the weekends back then, or was everything shut?
I don't know. I think this shop, you wouldn't call it a dairy. It was just a grocery shop, a corner grocery shop. But then I think there were other shops that were dairies, sold more milk and ice cream and confectionery and that sort of thing.
Yes.
Newspapers as well, right?
Yes. Newspapers, fresh bread, ice cream. So when we were kids, we'd be going to the beach on Sunday. So cows are milked, off to the beach, and we'd stop at the dairy. That was on a Sunday, and you'd get your container of ice cream, cardboard container that sort of ate almost straight away, lunch and sausage, fresh bread, and the newspaper. And that was Sunday mornings.
Yeah. The shop that I was a delivery boy in, a corner shop, was owner-operated. The owner and his wife didn't have any other staff, so they really had to close at weekends.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it would
mean... you're talking about sort of mid-50s now, are you?
Yes.
Yeah.
60s, yeah. Yeah. You're right.
Okay. So that would have been selling fruit, veggie, cheese... canned stuff.
Well, you remember
sugar, flour,
cereal.
But before the days of packaged biscuits, they came in tins, loose biscuits in a tin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, if you wanted some biscuits, then they were taken out of the tin and weighed for you. And and same with, I think, flour and everything else. There's no such thing as prepackaged.
All wrapped up in the paper stuff. And I remember
the big scales with the big thing that they poured it into, the piece under the scales to hold stuff. They seemed huge.
Yeah. Well, supermarkets actually have them in the fruit and veggie section, so you can weigh to see how much you've actually selected off there.
Yeah. Mm. And I don't know if you had them here, but in England, I remember the sweet shops, and for kids, there'd be a big container of sweets, and you could select. That not even wrapped up, but you
can select
half
jars.
A dozen and have one of these and two of those. Some just pick them out, all loose. Yeah.
And aniseed balls were five for a penny, yes. whereas most of the others were three or four for a penny. Yeah. But aniseed balls were five for a penny.
Good thing. Gobstockers?
Stoppers, they were usually tuppence each, I think.
But did you have, we had something called licorice sticks, which was actually the licorice root. And you could chew it, and it becomes sort of fibrous at the end, and almost like
we had licorice sticks. We had licorice straps.
Straps, yes.
But then there were sticks.
That's made up licorice.
Yeah, we had that as well, but the licorice stick.
I think it was a hangover from probably even my parents' day, because I remember them getting them for us sometimes, so we could see what they were like. It wasn't a normal everyday thing, but yeah, just stick of straight stick of licorice root, and you just chew it and get the licorice flavour.
Nice. Those dairies, if I remember rightly, they were almost like the front room of a house. The people were living in the house, and they would come through the door. You know, you'd walk in, ring the bell, and
yeah, they might have storage room around the back.
No,
yeah,
my uncle's wasn't. It was a separate building.
It was a separate building. Mm.
The place I worked in, the shop was on the ground floor. Shop and storeroom on the ground floor, and the accommodation was upstairs. Mm.
So did you regret the loss of the Kiwi weekend, or did you see it as a positive?
For me, is at the age I was at, I was single. It was good for you. It worked just fine. Yeah. I was working Monday to Friday. It meant the weekend. Yeah. You could, if you want to buy a present for somebody, you actually go and do it.
To me, I don't think it really made a lot of difference.
Yeah, okay.
At that stage.
No, it didn't make any difference to me. I think it opened up, as I've said before, you had to be careful about travelling at weekends, make sure the tank of the car was filled up. But then as time went on, there more and more service stations opened, and they sold other goods as well.
Yeah. Actually, I think for me, the biggest thing wasn't so much the weekend, but when they started opening up all the shopping over Christmas, because I always treated Christmas to New Year
as a holiday.
Sort of time out, totally different space, you know, a different headspace. When you suddenly find you go in town on Boxing Day and everyone's pouring into the sales, it's eliminated. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website. And a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz. If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.